One of the reporters who covered the clearing of Fallujah was NPR's Mike Schuster. Schuster was an embedded reporter with the U.S. Marines in the last stages of the fighting. He's just returned from about a month of reporting in the country. As our correspondents rotate out of Iraq, we often ask them to stop and reflect on what they've learned, and Mike joins us now from California. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
So you've just listened with us to General Sadler. How did your understanding of the situation in Fallujah and around it compare to his?
It seems to me that, in general, General Sattler's evaluation of the situation is probably pretty accurate, although there were details that I and a few other reporters discovered the week before last about the ongoing level of resistance within Fallujah that were surprising. It turned out that there, in fact, were, well, between 100 and 200 insurgents that remained in Fallujah and continued to give the Marines a real fight there.
Most Fallujahans, of course, are outside of Fallujah right now, some of them preparing to go back in. What have you been able to learn about the camps where many of them are staying?
Well, there are some tens of thousands of Fallujahans who are staying in makeshift camps not far from the city, and NPR sent one of its employees, a translator, to visit some of those refugees, and they were very eager to go back. And you got the sense that once the word got out, they would flood the checkpoints in order to try to get back in the city, and that it might not be as easy for the U.S. and the Iraqi interim government to control the flow of people into the city.
You mentioned that NPR sent an employee there. It's still not safe for you to travel in all parts of the country.
It's quite dangerous. Western reporters do not get into a car in Baghdad and drive to parts of the rest of the country. The way that I got to Fallujah was by a military helicopter in the middle of the night. I had to go to the Green Zone, which houses the U.S. Embassy and other Iraqi government facilities. And in the middle of the night, with no lights on, you fly to the camp in Fallujah.
Of course, it was all these hostage takings and attacks on foreigners in the last several months that have forced you to do business this way. In the last few weeks, though, has there been a shift away from attacking foreigners and more toward attacking Iraqis?
I don't think that there's any doubt that that's true. In fact, I think it's been for the last couple of months. There are very few, if any, instances of Westerners being kidnapped in the last month than I can think of, or the last month and a half. But at the same time, there's no doubt that there are far more attacks now on Iraqi civilians, Iraqi civilians and Iraqi troops and Iraqi police. Almost anybody cooperating with the United States is in for attack. And I think in the last couple of weeks, another dangerous development, which is that there have been an increasing number of attacks, it seems, on Shiites. Shiite Arabs, just travelers, clerics, people connected to Shiite political parties. It feels like that kind of sectarian strife is beginning to intensify in Iraq.
Now, this is all happening in the midst of an election campaign. What does that look like and feel like when you're actually there, if anything?
Well, it feels like it's a kind of bifurcated country. You can go to Shiite areas in Sadr City, which is a big slum of more than 2 million people, and you can go there and you can feel safe. There are no longer attacks on American troops or on Americans or Westerners. The decision of those who control this community has been that they want to participate in the election. They are urging people to participate in the election. They are putting up posters that say voting is compulsory. They perceive a political gain, clearly.
Are there issues that are being discussed?
No, there are not. And that's awfully interesting. I was in Baghdad when the largest electoral bloc of Shiite and other political groups announced its formation. It's called the United Iraqi Alliance, and it's likely to win the election. And they wouldn't talk about any political issues. They were asked, well, what are your political issues? And they wouldn't talk about a single one except for the presence of U.S. troops in Iraq. And that's what they wanted to talk about entirely. They envision a new government after January 30th getting down very quickly to discussing with the United Nations, the United States, and the other nations that make up this coalition a timetable for the withdrawal of international forces.
NPR's Mike Schuster is just back from about a month reporting in Iraq. Mike, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.